I'm sorry about that, folks. We had the wrong recording, and we'll start all over again. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, September 8th. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. I'll repeat, 888-773-4496. You may also access this program through Blog Talk Radio, and the number there is 646-652-4620. If you dial the toll-free number, it'll just click right over, so the transfer right over. I also encourage you to send your emails to me to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Folks, I really thrive on emails, and I really would appreciate it no matter where you are in the world. And believe it or not, our second highest listenership is from Beijing, China, which I find absolutely astounding what technology can do today. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on. But please do send me your emails. Of course, if you send it to me in a foreign language, I will have to get it translated if I can find someone, because we are language ignorant here in the United States. Let me be honest with you. We think English is the only language, and we don't do a very good job of internationalizing ourselves. I also would like to encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. That's sutton-associates.net. In his monthly newsletters and podcasts, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. As you know, we have Andy on the program the third Wednesday of every month giving us an economic update. He does us that favor, and we are very grateful to him that he does. Andy's a very, very sharp guy, really knows his bananas, but he can bring it down to a level that even a person like me can't understand it. Liberty Talk Radio broadcasts are archived and available from our website, but are also but also can be accessed via iTunes and Twitter under @LibertyJoe for your listening convenience. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. Believe it or not, this morning I will not be discussing the presidential Republican debate. And the reason for that is I did not watch them. I was out. I was invited out to a lovely dinner last night with my wife. A manufacturer's rep came in from out of town and wanted to take us out to dinner and discuss all the new technology that's going on in audiology. And we accommodated him. It was wonderful. So I did not get to listen to the debate. I turned on the television when I first walked in the house to see if they were going to discuss it. And they really weren't doing anything of substance. So I decided to hit the sack so I can get up early this morning to broadcast. I would just assume, and this is an assumption, that it is probably more of the same, and that the mainstream media's front runners, or those that they want to be the front runners, probably got the most press, and everybody else was sort of an also-ran. And I would assume that Ron Paul also, and I wish someone would call in and tell me who watched that. I'd love to know. I would assume like Ron Paul got a minimum amount of press, but probably blew everybody away. But that's another story. So I'm not going to comment on that this morning. I don't like the debates because they really are not debates. I like for them to get into substance. I don't know who asks the questions or develops the questions that are being asked, but they're usually irrelevant and short-sighted. If someone's going to ask a question, they might as well ask a question, really a hard question. Sort of the subjects that we bring up on this radio program. You know, we bring these things up. They're hard. They're not soft, namby-pamby, like, do you think the president should allocate a little bit more money to all that garbage, stupid stuff that, you know, you know what you're saying, it can be right or wrong, depending on which side of the aisle you're on. Don't want to bother with that. But I don't regret, quite frankly, that I missed it, because I really feel that there was no loss by missing it. I had a nice dinner. Quite frankly, I wasn't upset. I had a very, very good time. If I would have watched the debates, most likely I would have been very upset at the end. I probably would have been screaming and throwing stuff at the TV set. So it's best I don't watch. I'll tell you another thing that I do, and I know this has nothing to do with the program, is that I have been avoiding the television except for really dumb movies. I mean, if there's like a movie like Godzilla Eats Tokyo, I want to watch it. I mean, if it's going to be dumb, let it be dumb. I mean, know it's dumb up front and have fun watching it with some popcorn and see Godzilla Eat Tokyo or something like that. You know what I mean? But all these other programs that pretend to be good movies, to be entertainment, or even to be educational, forget it. Now, I do not like the National Geographic Channel, the History Channel. I'm not a history buff. I have friends that are real history, but I mean, really good. In fact, I belong to the Indian Territory Gun Collectors Association, and basically it's a historical association. Believe it or not, sorry. And where they talk about, you know, guns and the War of 1812 and, you know, all the history behind it, they're fascinating. These guys are knowledgeable, you know. Quite frankly, I'm very ignorant. I go and I learn something. I think it's very, very enjoyable to see these gentlemen come in, and most of them are hardcore collectors, and they scour the earth, you know, to find that rare firearm that was used in a battle 100 years ago or so, and they present it and they show how it was used and why it was used and why it was developed. It's historically very, very interesting, but I guess I've never had the patience with which to sit down and read some part of history and get into it. My friends of mine are Civil War buffs. And they've read dozens and dozens of books on the Civil War, can tell you everything about them. I mean, I can tell you, I think it's the North and the South, they got pissed off at each other, they start fighting, you know. I'm really history ignorant. But anyway, but I do listen to the History Channel once in a while. I'm rambling. Why, I don't know. I have no idea. But folks, I really wish that I can get some feedback from those people who are listening to this program. I'm having a problem in that I do get some emails. I'm not getting enough. I mean, there's got to be people who are really upset with what I have to say, or some people who agree. Quite frankly, if you agree, that's very, very nice. Thank you very much. But I would love to hear from those people who disagree. I think one of the most wasteful things that we can do in society is preach to the choir. And you know what I'm talking about. Too often, we just preach to the choir. You know, you get neocons listening to Rush Limbaugh. You know, on Fox News, they're supporting the Republican candidate. You know, you listen to MSNBC, you know, it's Hate the Republicans Day. It's the same old tune. It's absolutely worthless. Nobody would sit back and discuss something, any issue, objectively, and forget about what your belief systems are, your religion, what your political affiliation is. You know, what's the truth? And we don't look at the truth very well. We love to camouflage the truth. Why? I don't know. I mean, we are literally afraid of the truth. It has to do with it violating our own belief systems. I want to believe that, you know, the Republicans or the Democrats are the good guys or the bad guys, however you want to define it. And by knowing the truth, that may impinge, on that belief system that the political party of our choice, you know, may not be as perfect as we profess it to be or we argue it to be. And it's very interesting that we do that. I don't like to be wrong. I'll be honest with you. I'm wrong very often. I mean, I'm wrong more times than I'm right. But I really want to know. And that's why I ask people, please call in and say, you know, Joe, you're full of hot air. Doesn't work that way. But please be substantive. Because I want to learn. This is a learning experience. I don't get a dime from it. This station costs me money. I mean, and you know, believe it or not, it does cost not a lot of money, but it takes a lot of money to keep a station like this on the air. You know, we have the fees for the service. We have the all the services that we have. And it adds up. Now, it's not driving me broke. I'm not going to ask for donations. I don't want it. If you send me a check, I'll mail it back to you. Thank you very much. My point being is that I want to get to somewhat the truth. It's this program is sort of like me going to the Himalayas and going, you know, with the Buddhist monks. You know, you're seeking the truth. And I really seek the truth. And I think I get there. I get a better understanding when I read or get involved with organizations that can take an issue and dissect it without any political affiliation. For example, the Future of Freedom Foundation. Excellent articles. One of my favorites is the Foundation for Economic Education. I mean, sometimes I get so involved in their articles on issues, I get so engrossed, I blank the world out. You get the American Institute of Economic Research. I mean, all these things. The Cato Institute. They really are. Now, they say, oh, those are libertarian-leaning, you know. You know, they're not. I hate when people say, well, you know, it's libertarian, it's Republican, it's radical, it's left, it's right, it's conservative. No. What they try to do is, what's the truth? They don't care what it is. Sometimes they're in lockstep with the position that the Democrat Party is taking. Sometimes they're in lockstep with what the Republican Party is taking. But they're doing it on principle, not because they're jockeying for position for a vote in the Senate. And so as a result, all the cards are on the table. Nothing is held, nothing is folded up like our government does. Everything is folded up. So this is why I do this program, but I can't persist. I've been doing this for over 5 years now, and you think I would get damn sick and tired of it, but I don't. I look forward to Thursday morning. I look forward more to Thursday morning ranting as I am now, as I do more so than when I have a good guest. But I guess because it's my outlet. Now, I appreciate our guests. Don't get me wrong. And by the way, I have a book of guests and I'm getting behind. The reason why I do not have a guest, have not had a guest on for the past 2 weeks, is that we're having an audio problem. And until we fix that audio problem, I don't want people calling in. And when they call in, they won't get the proper fidelity that they should be receiving. And they'll think this is a dinky, dumb program. We spend a lot of money to try to keep this thing going, and we cannot find what the glitch is, right? And until we find it out, and the glitch happens to be with our bumper song on Blog Talk Radio. We cannot seem to figure out what it is. Today, hopefully, we'll find a solution. We've been fighting it for the longest time. We're getting closer, but we haven't fixed the problem yet. But when we fix it, then we're going to have a guest. I must have about seven guests that have been contacting me saying, when can I be on the air? And some of them are great. One of which is Dr. Adrian Moore of Reason Magazine. I can't wait to have him on the program. I mean, I'm honored that he has asked me. I didn't ask him, he asked me. I think that's a true honor. Anyway, we're making progress in that regard. Where we are not making progress, folks, where we're not making progress at all, is in our way of thinking. Not you individually. I'm saying as a country. We seem to have abdicated all of our thought process and given it up, but we've abdicated it to somebody of a higher level. And you see, this is where I go, I want to scream. I can't contain myself. When you think of the logic of our whole system, it's wrong. It's all wrong. Everything about it is wrong. Now, originally it was set up, and it was set up properly because, you know, the Senate, the Congress, you know, the House of Representatives, the President, they're all checks and balances. The legislative branch, the judicial branch, they all checks and balances to make sure nobody got out of line. And it seems that they've become one big gang, if you will, you know, one big group. And they start feeding on each other, saying, all right, how can we do this? How can we do it? And they're really feeding on each other more than checks and balances. And when they do that, they do it at our expense. So anybody who says, you know, I think the Republicans have a good point, that, you know, I think you've bought into the system Once you buy into the system, it's over. It's all over for you, and you have taken part of the United States. You're part of the United States. You're part of the Constitution, your belief system, and you've trashed it. And nothing could be worse, politically or economically. Nothing could be worse. I mean, just think of the logic behind it. When a person runs for office, they want to shake your hand. They want to come to your coffee shop and discuss issues with you and this and that. And they're a man of the people. You know, they're going to be a servant of the people. And then when they get into office, look at the way they live. I mean, they kings should live so good. And yet we accept that. We don't say, hey, guys, how come you're not living in a regular house like everybody else, walking to work in the morning and leaving everything alone and making sure that you're not impinging on my rights, freedom, and liberty? Why? We don't even ask that question. In fact, we do nothing today. We do absolutely nothing today. First thing we do is we look up. If we do something, we look up to the president or some legislature and say, oh, can I do this? Is it permitted? Can I do this? We have become the most totalitarian government. But it's in our mentality. And I really believe that the only way this will change, the only possible way, is when we finally take to the streets, because we'll be so fed up. But that's too late. That's not the way to do it. We have to stop believing in the system. When they say things like, I voted for the lesser of two evils because, you know, it's my obligation to vote. We've lost it. Read the Declaration of Independence. We must be dissidents constantly. Anytime anyone in office does anything, throw the bum out. Don't touch me. Don't touch anything. Don't touch the Constitution. Throw the bum out. And yet we would do absolutely, we cannot, we're paralyzed. We're a paralyzed nation. And look around. I mean, you hear this every day, examples every day, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And the clowns on TV, and they really are clowns, these financial clowns, these investment clowns. You know, I love Gerald Celente because he calls it the way it is. He calls them all prostitutes. You know, the press is prostitutes. And I like that word. Because they're not, you know, originally the press was to be the checkpoint, the auditors, you know, of government. If the government got out of line, boy, the press was there saying, all right, Senator so-and-so, you voted for this, that's unconstitutional, you tell the public why. But today, they own Congress. They own the media. I mean, Congress owns the media. So when they go, oh, well, what do you want me to say, Congressman? Well, they don't say it that way, but their boss tells them that because they know where their check is coming from. It's upside down. The whole system is ruined. It's no good anymore. And it can't go anywhere. And these stupid financial jerks on TV, they really are stupid. They're short-sighted. What they are saying is that, well, we got out of this before, and if we look at 1971, you know, this is not 1971. This is 2001. We're talking 40 years later, and in that 40 years, we've abdicated everything to a bureaucratic oligarchy. And you think everything's the same? Well, we've got out of this before, we'll get out of it again. We are never going to get out of this. Never. Never until there is a revolutionary change. And when I say revolution, I don't mean burning cars in the street and stuff like that. But it has to be revolutionary. And you know what? We don't have the guts for it. We don't have the guts to do anything. I think Gerald Celente's right. You know, when they were talking about the storm that hit the East Coast, you know, every 2 seconds, oh, the wind is coming. The wind is getting stronger. It's like, oh, hide everybody. He said, you know, we don't have two legs to stand on anymore. You know, we should be able to say, storms come. This is what I'm going to do. I don't have to watch TV. But no, we watch it. All we do is watch storms on TV. Castro had it right. He had it right. That guy was smart. First of all, he's a great front man, and his brother was a great executioner. You know, you disagreed, you're dead. You know, very simple. But he had it right. He says, just keep the people distracted, you can do anything. He took over, took all their rights away, but he gave them free baseball. Boy, the people were happy. Keep play games, but keep them going to baseball games. You know, free soccer. Get it free. It's all free. You don't have to pay. Get a ticket. It's for the people. And people bought into it. Let's stop the station identification. If we could do that alone without everything going to hell in a handbasket.
You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure libertarian talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I do wish you would call. Don't have a lazy finger. Come on, just press some buttons. 888, and sometimes you don't have to do that. If you have, my number should be in your phones. All iPhones and Blackberries and Blueberries and Greenberries and Redberries should have this phone. 888-773-4496. Or if you want to save me a dime, I mean, this will be a contribution to the program. If you want to make a contribution, if you have a cell phone, don't use the toll-free number. Use the regular direct number. You just save me a few cents. Okay, if you want to make a contribution to the program, do this. Here's the number that you put in your cell phone. 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Or if you want to call direct, that's fine. You'll get no argument from me. 888-773-4496. Your comments are welcome to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I really want to hear from you. And if you think you're going to interrupt me by calling this morning, you will not be doing so. Please do so. Any question it can be placed on the table. I'm for it. But what I want to talk about is this stupid infrastructure. Here's an example of how our brains have gone to mush. You know, we have a president, oh, by the way, that I always thought was a real sharp guy, just a little bit too left-leaning, you know, left-leaning and not, you know, just had his own agenda. No, I am convinced that this guy isn't too bright. He doesn't have the qualifications to be, not only to be president, but to hold any job. In my small company, I would not hire him. You know why? Because he's a do-nothing person. He's a front man. He looks good, runs bad. You know, reminds me of something like my cousin many years ago bought a 1960 Buick, you know. 59 Buick was a great car. They changed it all over, a whole redesign in 1960, you know. Looked great, ran bad, you know. He's like a 1960 Buick, you know. Looks good, runs bad, you know. He just is a front man. He is of no value whatsoever. I don't know who's telling him to do what, but it's all wrong, and we listen to him. I don't understand this. I really don't. Now, this thing with infrastructure. Every time he wants to get close to the people, what does he do? He says, "Well, folks, we're gonna devote more money and energy to and focus on the infrastructure to get people back to work." Well, you know, and no one yet. I mean, not one person. And I've heard this speech literally dozens of times. Not one person, especially the stupid people in the press, the prostitutes, as Gerald Salit they would call them, would say, "You know, Mr. President, I have a simple question for you. Please bear with me for a second. You know, when you built this road, you also imposed excise taxes and sales taxes and whatever taxes on the people, you know, for maintenance for this road. And people pay these taxes on a day-to-day basis, and that money should be allocated for the fixing of the road. Mr. President, what happened? Our infrastructure is rotting all over. I mean, it's probably not as bad as some of the alarmists think it is, you know, but it's not. It is getting bad, and it's not getting any better. What happened to all these hundreds of billions or maybe trillions of dollars that you have been collecting for infrastructure? What happened to that money?" You'll get no answer. You know why? Because they take that money and say, "Well, this is for roads." But nobody has ever been elected to office because they said, "We're going to, vote for me and I will fix the potholes." Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Guy never get in the office. He's looking to get 3% of the vote. But if he says, "Vote for me and I'll make sure we get a new football stadium and an NFL team in here," but can't afford it, you know, not going to work, not economically viable, but he'll get voted. You know, look at all the jobs that will be created. Oh, boy, we're going to have our own football team. Oh, this is going to be a great town. This is what they do. I saw a cartoon one time when they said, when they indicated, you know, new public projects, and the new public projects was depicted by this just absolutely gorgeous, you know, shapely girl, cartoon, you know, shapely girl, really sexy. And then they had infrastructure improvements, you know, like potholes or whatever, and they showed that as this gigantic woman with pimples on her face and, you know, just teeth missing and all that. And they said, all right, now, which one are you going to vote for? And they made a good point. And the thing is, we are such a non-thinking people, such non-thinking people. What we do is we vote for the new project. We're going to get a new stadium, a new arena, a new this, a new that, you know. And he's going to push it because he's for the people. And we don't think, what happened to our money? What happened? You want to allocate monies that you don't have at a time that we are hellaciously in debt. Where this money comes from, I don't know. And to fix a bridge, to create jobs, when the money should have been there and the bridge should have been fixed years ago? Now, why don't we just ask, say, what happened to the money? Why wasn't this bridge fixed 15 years ago? Why don't we ask the question? No, we ask, well, Mr. President or Mr. Senator, how many jobs do you think they'll create? Well, you know, there's been a debate whether or not they will create jobs, but it would get people, and they're going to talk about, you know, the ripple effect and all this garbage, absolute garbage. And you know what? We get sucked right in. We get sucked right in because we are so ignorant. We get sucked right in, and we go, well, I guess he's doing the job. He's our president. He's really taking a bold, I like this, taking a bold approach. Taking a bold approach by taxing us twice. And we can't think. We don't, no thought at all. No one's going, what? You kidding me? You don't do that. You can't do that to me, you bums. Nobody. Except maybe a nut like me. And then when you have someone like Ron Paul running, saying, that's wrong, they go, well, you know, he's a radical. No. The person's a radical is our president, is our Congress. And probably part of our judicial system. I don't know too much about our judicial system, but I don't think I like it. I want everything to be constitutional. I want to be left alone. You know, I wish it was more palatable to say, I'm an anarchist. But it's not. Because you say you're an anarchist, they think, oh, you're going to go out on the street, kill people, burn cars, rioting in the street. No, I want to be left alone. I want to be able to broadcast on the station without worrying that the FBI is not going to be on my front door. And right now, I don't have that comfort index. But we don't think that way. We never think that way. I would like one person to call and say, oh, no, I've heard people challenge the president on that. And even if they did, I'd like to know what the answer is. And you know what? There is no answer. The answer is yes, we've confiscated your funds. We've used it for what we want, not for what was needed, because it was politically expedient. And now we're going to print more money to do that. And then you got to pay for it again. And the thing is that when the money's allocated the second time, it usually doesn't even get done. And then they say, well, you know, it would have gotten done. However, they were really chintzy about it. They should have allocated the right amount of money. You know, they only allocated $15 billion. It was really a $25 billion project. If they only would have allocated the right amount of money, we would have gotten it done. It is never, ever, ever, ever enough. In my business, everything we do, if something's going to cost $10,000, we say, how could we do this for less than $10,000? Because it cuts into our profit margins. We don't want to go out of business. We are constantly trying to find out how to be more efficient. And sometimes we have lots of business and we don't know how to squeeze it in. We don't know how to do it. We have a problem right now with a very, very big job in Kansas. And we don't know how to squeeze it in. We really should do this job. It's going to be very profitable. It's going to be an excellent account to have. You think we just willy-nilly, well, just do it. Buy a new truck. You know, hire a few more people. No, we can't do that. But the government, sure, do all this stuff. Hey, hire people, create jobs. You know, my favorite story is when Milton Friedman was being given a tour of China. His guide showed him this big construction site, oh, with I don't know how many, but I would assume hundreds, you know, of Chinese workers there with these shovels, you know, digging holes and, you know, digging the foundation or whatever, this gigantic building that they had in mind. And Milton Friedman turned around to the guy and said, you have the most up-to-date earth-moving equipment. He says, yes. He says, well, what's the objective of this job? He says, to build, you know, construct this building. He said, but then why don't you use the construction equipment that you have? You can displace all the people and get it done in a fraction of the time. He says, oh, he says, no. He said, we're trying to create jobs. And his answer, I mean, it should be emblazoned in all of our minds. His answer was this: then why not give them all spoons? Think about that. Why not give them all spoons? Okay, we have a caller in here. Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi. This is Patricia from Tulsa.
Yeah, Patricia. Hello. Yes. Hello.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to ask what might be a dumb question, but instead of the government just paying out money as unemployment insurance, wouldn't it be better for them to have the people do something to kind of get something for their money, such as build the infrastructure? I don't understand why that wouldn't be better than just giving away unemployment insurance money to people and extending it time after time.
All right. Do you want to know the answer to that? And it's very short, Patricia, because it doesn't solve the problem. Everything in life, as in Mother Nature, everything is destructive creation. Everything creates from something, but where does it come from? It comes from a tree falls down in the forest. It's just there, it rots, it dies. And what do you think happens to that tree? It nourishes the soil and new trees grow. I mean, it's a law of nature. You have to make things die that need to die and for things to come up. What our government does, we don't want anything to die. We don't want any trees to fall. We'll prop up. Well, it's like going in a forest and every tree that is dead and rotten, we're putting 254s on it to hold it up. And what we're doing is we're paying a lot of people to do that, right? So, you know, create jobs. You have to let things fail. When things fail, people then on their own say, I have to do something. How do I make this work? Just like my company, we're trying to figure out how do we make this job work? We haven't found the answer to this one particular problem we have, but we will, and we will do this job, and we will make money. We don't know what it is yet. But people, and you're not giving people the incentive to do that. When people came here at the turn of the century, I mean the 19th century, 20th century, the turn of that century, people came here. They had no money. I mean, they didn't come from Europe, from Sicily, Italy, Poland, and whatever. And they didn't come here and say, well, I came here with a few hundred thousand dollars. I think I'll sit around for a while and maybe later I'll get a job. They came here with nothing. And they said, if I don't work, I starve. If I don't work, my children starve. That was the incentive. And many people did starve. And that's the way it is. I mean, you have to look at nature. You cannot violate any law of nature. And by just persisting by giving people fake jobs is no better than giving them money and sitting at home. You can say, well, you know, with the bridges getting fixed, but I doubt that'll even get done. I guess it's a little bit better, but it doesn't solve the problem. The problem is you have to make things fail that are no longer viable so new things can come up, take their place, and people's initiative, not by government, people's initiative will come design and develop new and better ways of doing it for the good of themselves and society at no cost. But we have to work very, very, very hard. And is there a price? You bet there's a price. Will people suffer? You bet people will suffer. And you know, people suffer every single day. And I don't know what's wrong with us. We are a country which we have everything and we complain that we can't do anything. But look, at about one-third of the world's population has never had a clean glass of water. I mean, think of the dichotomy of that. And yet, we can't think of what we want to do for a job. I think I'll go to the school and I'll get a job with the state being a social worker. You know, we have no thought process. We don't make things die. And as a result, we are getting dumber and dumber, lazier and lazier. That's my objection to that. Did I answer your question a little bit?
Only a little bit. The government is still giving away that money.
Oh, I agree. Oh, no, no. Given the option, yeah. If they're giving away the money, have them do something. Oh, no, I agree. I'm saying that both options are bad. Both. Because what they're doing is they're just allowing a situation to persist. After that project, what happens? The project's over. Now they're on unemployment again. Now they can go on unemployment again because they've been working. They go on unemployment now for another 2 years. You see, it never goes away. Eventually, this grows and grows and grows, and most people are just sitting around waiting for the government to give them a job that's not necessary. And eventually, the whole economy just collapses. There's no end game. There is an end game. The end game is collapse.
What are you saying they need to go ahead and allow to die? You said that something needed to go ahead and be allowed to die. What were you talking about?
All right. If people are out of work and they paid in to some sort of fund for unemployment for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, of course, if they paid into, it's like an insurance policy, they should get paid for 2 or 3 weeks unemployment, right? And after that, it stops. Then they're on their own. Everyone's on their own. Then you have to start thinking, how am I going to feed myself? How am I going to feed my family? Instead of saying, well, you know, I have another year and a half of unemployment. You know, I can do this, this, and that. And I'm helping my friend on the side, helping with his house. And, you know, I'll just keep on doing this until my unemployment's up. In other words, it's do or die. Exactly what people did, the immigrants did when they came over here. My father came over here with nothing. He borrowed $14 from his future mother-in-law. She never made him forget it. And with that 14, believe me, my father talked about it all the time, how the $14 just grabbed him. She never made him forget it. But with that $14, he started his own business. You know, and he talks about things like that and how people struggled and how people had absolutely nothing. And they had something from nothing. I've said this before, something from nothing. And yet, you know what we do in America today? We take something and make it nothing. We're doing the exact opposite. Where do you think we're going? We're going down the tubes. And you think the president's speech is going to do any good? Nothing at all. We have to make things fail. And if people really, really, really hurt, believe it or not, they'll find something to do. They will find something to do, provided they don't think it's unfair. Now, back then, 100 years ago, when a person came here and let's say they didn't do anything. Let's say they didn't work. They said, screw it. I'll just wait till I get hungry and someone will feed me. And no one came to feed them. They didn't riot in the street because who are they going to riot against? It themselves. I mean, it wasn't that the government program wasn't fair. There was no government program. They knew it. That's why they didn't take to the street. People starved in the street but didn't take to the streets. Today, people starve in the streets. They will riot in the streets because they're going to say, where is my check? And that's the death knell of any society. I'm sorry for the bad news. I'm sorry. I mean, I wish I was more positive. But I'm positive about one thing. What I am saying is correct. Because there's no counter argument to that other than, isn't that mean we shouldn't do that? Poor people and children. It's life. That's life. You know, people should think about their consequences. And because of government, people think of their consequence. Because you know what the consequence is? I get a government check. I can do this, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, I'll get an extra government check. But if people said, if I do this and it doesn't work out, I will starve to death. My children will starve to death. You think the attitude would be a little bit different? I asked you a question. You think the attitude would be different?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
people had something in the game. Skin in the game, as they say.
Thank you very much. I was going to say, no one has skin in the game. No one. You know who has skin in the game? If you're working, you have skin in the game. The person who is not doing anything has no skin in the game. Now, if you had to say the natural order of things, would that follow a natural order of things? That if this person doesn't work, you lose? Does that make sense to you?
No.
No, of course not. Well, that's why people take to the streets. That's why in these foreign countries, people take to the streets. because people work incredibly hard there. They make hardly no money. And then when something goes bad, they lose their job, and a few people who are multimillionaires make even more money. They take to the streets. Don't blame them. But we have a form of government that allows us the freedom to do what we want to do, up to a point, unfortunately, today. But you have to make things fail. I always say, you know, I'm best in business when things are really bad.
You don't mean make things fail, do you? Make, but you don't really mean make.
You're absolutely.
You mean allow.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. You don't make. Yeah, to allow things to fail. Absolutely. I'm sorry. You're absolutely correct. Thank you for the correction. Yeah, if you allow things to fail because people see it's failing, they say, what do I got to do now? They do something rather than sitting around.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for your information.
Thank you so much for calling Liberty Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it's really, really interesting that we have, you know, this is the problem. Is that we say, well, geez, what about all these poor people? Well, you know, that's life. You know, we don't save everybody. We, you know, people right now are dying all over the place. You know, look what's happening in parts of South Africa. There's tremendous hundreds of thousands of people are dying and starving to death. You think we're doing anything about it? No, we're too busy, you know, trying to liberate Libya. And we go, oh yeah, but you know, it's important. The people, no, the people are doing fine. People in South Africa, they're starving to death. There's migrations of people. Hundreds of thousands of children are dying and starving to death. What are we doing? Nothing. Because it's not in our political interest. Folks, you know the score. You know exactly what I'm saying. You know exactly where we're going. All we got to do is, I guess, I don't know what you're going to do. I do the radio program. You do your thing. I don't know what your thing is. It could be anything, writing articles. It could mean getting involved in the political process. But we all must do something. Unfortunately, the people who do something are in the vast minority and it ain't going to work very well. I'm a pessimist. You bet I'm a pessimist. Because I don't see anything change. I see a lot of noise. But, you know, the empire, the emperor is against us. You know, anything that you do, you're going to hear in the background, but the emperor does not agree with the optimistic appraisal of the situation, as they said in Star Wars. They don't. And we ain't going to win that one. And that's the reason for this program. Okay, well, thank you very much, Patricia, for calling in. We certainly appreciate that. I really wish we'd get more calls in here. And I guess this is the end of today's program. Next week, I want to remind everyone that it is Andy Sutton will be here.
Gotta be careful what I say, 'cause I might
Oops, sorry about that. Too loud. I need a radio guy to be in here and run all these dials for me while I'm broadcasting. I can't do two things at one time. Andy Sutton will be here next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Central Daylight Time. Please join us. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. I mean high risk, folks. I've been there. I do that. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign in this that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.